Hello, one today is Thursday, July 9th, 2026, and this week, Ed Charts. Obviously, I want to thank all you guys and girls for attending. Appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. Been having some technical difficulties lately, but hopefully we'll get all these things resolved. If you're having trouble finding the show, you can email me directly. If you're having trouble, you can usually find the links at daveleonard.com/archives, but they have been some issues there too. GoTo has been a pain in the butt types lately. Anyway, what are we talking about? Well, current market conditions, obviously, I have a lot to say about that. I know I said that every week, but this week I mean it. Your questions on trading, your favorite stock, and crypto picks. I'm going to continue to show the methodology in action, and that'll make sense in 1 minute. And so far, it really hadn't, or lately, I should say, it hasn't been fantastic. We had a fantastic streak, and then we went to that chop, which you know it's coming, but it still hurts nonetheless. I want to spend a little bit more time this week than normal on the Landry 100. I want to get into surprises, the direction of the trend. The speculation is still alive, this vicious sector rotation we have going on. And I want to talk a little bit about where we are in the market before we actually get to the market with the sector rotation and the P's losing momentum and so on and so forth. I want to also talk about the Ogre Plus One setup. I mentioned an Ogre in Facebook, and then I mentioned it again the next day as a Plus One setup. Here's my contact information. I'll come back to that in just 1 second. You can always reach me again at dave@davelander.com. This is disclaimer screen. As you know, you can lose money trading or is off to sum it up. All predictions are about the future, and a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. Thank you, Greg, for that. Again, there's my contact information. Feel free to contact me. All right, as I've said ad nauseum, the missing piece for me, at least early in my trading, was to actually see someone make trades, not cherry pick or show some highlights reel or whatever, but to actually do the analysis, which I was a big part of the analysis, which that helped me tremendously learning how to read charts. But it does help to be able to see someone actually go through the ups and the downs. And now, as I've been saying quite a bit, and one thing I do is I show warts and all, and lately things have not been fantastic, as you'll see in just 1 second, but we're due and we'll get through this summertime chop and we'll see where we are. Be selective, maybe catch one or two big winners along the way, and that'll pay for everything, hopefully. All right, let's talk about the mystery charts and the methodology in action. This was a form of mystery chart. Nice pullback. It was shown as an IPO in one data feed, and according to Yahoo Finance, it was new to the NASDAQ. So It's kind of quasi-IPO. Anyway, nice uptrend remained, was in a nice uptrend, then it pulls back kind of deeply, looks pretty good. Fairly volatile stock, though, hence the wide parameters. And the entry was here, stop was down here, initial profit target was up here. Now, initially rally, and that allowed us to cinch our stop up, but we did get stopped out of this one, and we ended up stopping out for half of what a normal loss would be because the stock came up significantly when the stock rallied, but unfortunately stock came back in and stopped us out. Now this is based on a hypothetical 100K account, although I do actually take the trades. If you want to see that losing trade, I'll be happy to show it to you across multiple accounts. So laugh to keep from crying in that situation. The thing is, the point I was trying to make is if you have a 100K account and you're risking 2%, that's $2,000 per trade if stopped out. That's not invest, so to speak, $2,000 a trade. It's if you get stopped out, how much would you lose? And that's based on the volatility of the stock. And in that case, I think it was like a 10-point stop, which you called for, okay? So based on the volatility of the stock. So we moved the stop up, I guess, 5 points. So it wasn't a full loss, but hey, a loss is still a loss. All right, we have a new mystery chart for this week. Nice acceleration higher. And then we have this TKO type of move, okay? So in this case, it's kind of a textbook TKO. Textbook TKO, it starts at one end and then it ends at the other, okay? In other words, you're open, your high is up here, your close is way down here. And in a case like this, when you have a textbook TKO, if the market comes all the way back up to trigger an entry, then you might have a bona fide uptrend intact. And if it doesn't trigger, then you may have avoided a losing trade. So I know it's kind of silly to say they either work or they don't, but they either work well or a lot of times you don't get triggered in. Doesn't mean you can't lose on a trade like this. You could lose on any trade, right? A lot of stuff could happen between now and then. That's what between you when you enter and the future, right? All predictions about the future, a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. But anyway, that's the textbook TKO. And the good thing about them is you can almost trade them mechanically, stop right below the low, or maybe a little bit below the low, a little wiggle room in this particular case, entry near the high. And again, if they take off, especially if they take off right away, now you'll notice that there was one in last week's, the week of charts, where I pulled it off the list because it didn't trigger within so many days. And with a big TKO like that, I like it. The best thing in the world is the next day to come back and go straight back up, because that squeezes out the shorts and it also gets the nervous Nellies who just got shaken out. It gets the attention of them and they feel like, oh crap, I was just in the stock. Let me just rush back in. And the predicament of these people could really help you out. Now, one thing that's kind of interesting about this particular stock is this is an IPO. And in the IPO course, I talked about different sort of characteristics of IPOs. And one's the fly and the die, and that's a very common pattern. In fact, we often take advantage of that fly phase. Everybody comes, well, when an IPO comes public, everybody's so excited and yay, I'll tell all my friends, and it goes straight up. Okay. And that's what we're looking to jump on with a few caveats, obviously. We usually give it 5 days, or normally 5 days. You could possibly enter on the fifth day if it's making new highs on that fifth day. But anyway, sometimes you have the die and fly where there's all this excitement quickly wanes as soon as the stock gets public, and then it dies out for a while. And my favorite ones for the die and the fly is when they base out for a long time. And we'll take a look at SpaceX here in a minute. And SpaceX might be a die and fly. But anyway, not a big kind of cup and handle pattern working here. Died out. Sometimes they get their act together. They get a little bit, everybody's a little bit too excited going in. When that promise fails to materialize with an IPO, I named the course the promise of the future, right? And most of the time, or 99% of the time, the promise never materializes. But we're not trading on reality, okay? We're trading on the market's perception of reality. Oh, I need to write that down. That actually might make some sense, okay? So with IPOs, there's a perception of reality that's this promise that they're gonna cure some horrid disease or put people on Mars or whatever the case may be. Anyway, there's a lot of characteristics of IPOs based on this excitement when they come public. Anyway, here is a mystery chart reveal. This was shown last week. Nice little lanugerite pullback. Notice that in the trend, you had an acceleration of trend. The stock was headed higher, and then it began to accelerate higher. And that's accelerating momentum strategy. It's also a lanugerite pullback. And it's almost textbook in nature. Those are the parameters down below. A little hard to see, but I'll put them on the chart. Entry was here, stop was down here, initial profit target is up here. And again, you came down to kiss the moving average. Notice that the lanugerite went from about 30 down to zero. Okay. It's lanugerite is plus one for every low above the moving average. Okay. It resets to zero when you cross the moving average. So zero down here, one, two, three, one, two, three, and so on and so forth. And these were programmed for me years ago in MetaStock. And by accident, they plotted a histogram. And I thought that was really cool. And I decided to stick with it because it's just cool. And I'm a nerd. All right, let's see what happened here. So nothing happened. It didn't trigger an entry. And then it began to chop sideways. It started losing a little momentum. It still looks okay. Okay. But it just doesn't look as exciting as it did about a week or so ago, or 2 weeks ago. So I decided to pass on that one. Okay, I put out an Ogre, I think it was, I want to say on Friday, March or Monday, maybe Monday. I put on Ogre 4 a match, and then it didn't really trigger. And then the next day, I looked at it again. It's an Ogre plus one. And that's something I often forget about doing. And a lot of the things I do here is like either mistakes that I made I want to show you. So it's kind of my own little commitment device to remind me, to remind myself to keep an eye on these things. And that's why, like in the Facebook group, I'll put things out like, hey, this is an Ogre plus one. So I'm looking at it too. But anyway, it gapped lower on whatever day that was. I guess that's Monday. And it really didn't reverse that much from the gap. And then on the following day, I played the Ogre plus one. And it had an okay rally. It didn't set the world on fire, but it had a decent rally. Now, today, of course, it's having the mother of all rallies up, 50 points or something like that, round numbers. And that's the ultimate goal with these ogres, is you have the opening gap down here. Let's say this gap down here around 550 or whatever. And then by the end of the day, you close positive. So you're up here at 600 or more. So like a 50-something point rally in a case like this, like a 10% move, that would be like phenomenal. And that would be one heck of a day trade. Anyway, so here's the original opening gap reversal. Now, it did do a little bit of a fake out. So let me rewind that. So there's your opening gap reversal. And this is where you have to be really careful not to get sucked in right away. And sometimes you do get sucked in and spit out. That's okay. Let's back the chart up to the daily. So sometimes you look at the daily chart, and you could say, okay, well, this thing is reversing from that ogre, but it's not setting the world on fire just yet. Maybe give it a little more wiggle room to trigger. And again, sometimes you'll get triggered in, and sometimes you'll get lucky. But in this particular case, it did rally a little bit, came back in. Now, if you're super aggressive, and that's a big and there, we're not in that market now. A lot of sectors are losing a lot of steam at the moment. So that is somewhat concerning. So we're not in this rip-roaring, crazy bull market that we were in not that long ago, and then in 1999, of course. So you really don't want to come in and bottom fish on an ogre. But it did find its low and began to take off. So maybe you could trade above some sort of range in here. But right now is not the time to be that aggressive. Ideally, you want to see it take out that opening range, a la Toby Crable. And again, your gap down and came back in. Now, some of my favorite ogres are when they do have that initial case like this would actually be a great kind of setup for an ogre, because it gaps down. It tries a rally, and then it sells off hard. And if you don't get sucked into that rally, sometimes what will happen is that fake out, and then you get the real move, okay? So it's like one, two, and then the third move higher. Anyway, so it never did really take out the prior day's high, or never did take it out at all. And yeah, it had a decent rally from the lows. By the way, this is AMAU. Which is a leverage shares. But if you're gonna do a day trade, then by all means look at these leverage shares. If you're going to position trade, then stick with the regular shares. Leverage shares have a lot of issues to them, mainly in the tracking. If you read a prospectus, not that I read any, but just from what I've heard, these leverage ETFs are designed to track the one day price change, and the one day price change is much different than the price change over days, weeks, and months, okay? So because of the way the, I guess, friction works, frictional costs or slippage or whatever, in trying to track that one-day gain, it's going to be very hard for you to get into something leveraged like this and then hold it longer term and expect to have the same return, or I guess twice the return, as the underlying instrument. I do see some people occasionally hold these leveraged shares, but it always makes me question it. And by the way, the short leverage ones, they always go to zero eventually. And that's because they have to keep resetting at lower levels, okay? So that one's a little easier to wrap your head around why that happens. But the bottom line is, and I don't know the math in it, but it's the one-day intraday change is much different than a longer-term change, okay? Anyway, so that's the prior close. It's always, if you're looking at an Ogre plus one, it's always good to look at the prior close. So the whole theory behind the Ogre plus one is, and I borrowed the plus one from Larry Connors, because years ago, Larry Connors had some setups that he came up with the plus one setups, meaning that you had a setup on Monday, and then it didn't trigger, and then the same setup again will be plus one on Tuesday, okay? But the idea with these plus ones is, it's like everybody's looking at this probably on Monday, and then on Tuesday, when it doesn't take off or whatever, just meanders around like this, people forget about it, and the next day it sometimes will take off, and that's where the real money can be, sometimes in that second signal. It's kind of like the early bird gets the worm, the second mouse gets the cheese. So it's kind of a second mouse type of signal. Anyway, just a small trade here, a little day trade, S&Gs type of thing, 200 shares. Stop down here, and that's an automated trailing stop for 100 shares. And then initial profit target, in this particular case, we're using 1 point, okay? And then within the first 30-minute bar, it did rally up to that initial profit target. That's what IPT is, okay? And the stop came up to break even. Unfortunately, though, it came right back in and stopped out on the remainder, and then it recovered, of course, without me. But anyway, $100 and a scratch, better than a poke in the eye. And I did take this trade across multiple accounts, but I do like to, in my model account, I do like to show you some of these model trades that you could possibly repeat, okay, and not some kind of crazy trade where it's like, oh, well, I could never do that. Anyway, so this was in the Facebook group. This was how I played the Ogre. And by the way, that's one thing, that's kind of a, coming back to like a commitment device, that's a good commitment device that for me to put these Ogres out there, and Ogre plus one in this particular case, because it forces me to follow my plan. Just like my trading service forces me to follow my plan, even though when a stock is below the stop and I know I should get out, I feel like, oh, maybe just hang on a little while longer. All that human nature rears its ugly head. And I'm like, no, I got to get out. So if I go to show this trade next week at the week of charts or whatever, I have to show where I got out of the trade, and then just holding hope, right? Anyway, that's Ogre plus one. Any questions on that? Okay, I want to talk about the Landry 100. I want to go a little bit deeper into it this week than we normally do. There's a few things to glean from it, or quite a few things to glean from it, I should say. Now, last week I talked about the 100% rule, and beginning in May, any stock that rallies 100%, I will take half profits off, okay? So this is because a lot of times these crazy speculative stocks that go to the Landry 100, or some of them are, sometimes they'll just skyrocket and come right back in. Now, in trading, there's always a trade-off, okay? So when you have like a 600% winner that we just got, that I just pulled out the portfolio, which I'll show you one second, you would only have half of a position on for that 600%, as opposed to a whole position. But if the stock comes right back in, like this WYY, okay, so you made 133% on the first loaf because it gapped above 100%, okay, but then it comes right back in and you only made 25% on the rest. So if you add all that up, comes out to about $8,000 round numbers. And if you would have just taken out 100% and not taken those profits in this particular case, okay, instead of making about $8,000, you would have made, or a little bit less than $8,000, I guess, you would have made about $2,500, okay? Now, again, when you have one that really, really skyrockets, you're only going to have half position on, but in trading, there's always a trade-off. A lot of these speculative issues take off and then come right back in. So I wanted to have a rule for that. Anyway, the sector rotation has been vicious, and I'm going to get to that in a second with the pie chart. But these are all the stocks that I took out over the last week, and it's a bunch of them, as you can see. And unfortunately, we had to say goodbye to a bunch of winners. Now, there was $123,000 in closed trades, plus that half a trade on the WYY, which is another $1,200. But focusing on the big picture, you can see that's the WDC. And that was $57,000 of that. TIGO was 205%. S&DK, 129%. MU, 62%. MRVL, 65%. Anyway, you get the idea. Click, 60%. All these, or a lot of these, are semiconductors, I should say. And COHUR, BECO, and HUT. Now, HUD was interesting because that's a crypto stock. Crypto hasn't been doing that well lately, but it was going up. And in a webinar, I think it was Jim Kenney said, well, maybe it's because these crypto stocks are being seen as like an AI play because of their computing power or whatever. I don't know. I try not to confuse the issue with facts, but the beauty of technical analysis is, and the only rule for Landry 100 is the stock has to make a new 52-week closing high. Now, that's the current rule. I might drop that down to less than 1 year if the market gets iffy or stays choppy like it is. I'm having trouble finding stocks to put in the Landry 100. These are stocks. These are 100 stocks, and each one of them, on the day that it made it to the list, was making a brand new high. And from that brand new high, like this one here, probably ran 700 or 800% before I pulled it out because it lost steam. And some of these numbers were probably much bigger. But anyway, and then I wonder, I don't have the time, I'm not going to worry about going back and doing it, but like, did HUT make it 100% or AIP? Because in those particular cases, anything less than 100%, or you could see, but still decent gains, they may have shot up as much as 100%. So that would have been nice to take off half those profits. But of course, this number here on this 600% move would have been a little bit smaller, okay? Or about half that amount plus $5,000. Now, lately, there's been a crazy, vicious sector rotation. And the semiconductors, for instance, and for semiconductors, I'm also counting electronic components. But you can see that the numbers dropped significantly. So there were 16 stocks that were taken out the list in the semiconductors and equipment and services and also electronic components. So 24 semiconductors came in, but look what happened. Biotechnology took off and 26 biotechnology stocks came in. And as you look through these numbers, and I have a link in here in a second. Let's see. There it is. DaveLandry.substack.com. And you can take a look at the article that I update on the Landry 100, usually about once a week. And if you're a member of DaveLandry.com, a gold member at least, I put the Landry 100 in the Facebook group. And you could always, if you're in a Facebook group and you want the list, a current list or whatever, in between 1 week when I republish it usually, feel free to just contact me and I'll give it to you. But anyway, the point is a vicious sector rotation. If you take a look at some of these other areas, like Comm Equipment, okay, Comm Equipment was doing okay for a while, and I think that AMPG is a Comm Equipment stock. But then we had three last week or week before, and then we pulled out three over the last week. We pulled out five. It's hard to read this on the fly. Oh, that was crypto. So all the crypto stocks came out, which included that HUT. And then Comm Equipment, there was like five of those coming out. Computer Systems, there was four of those came out. So a lot of these technology areas that were leading are coming out. And there's some new, not quite as exciting areas that are beginning to come in, like health information services. You can see over here gain two. So this has been a really great exercise, if I say so myself. Now, this is the pie chart. I realize it's kind of hard to read here. It's a little easier to read in the article. You could pull up the picture and zoom in on it. But notice that biotechnology now has the biggest slice. So that slice was owned by semiconductors last week, okay? And this week, it's biotechnology with 34%. Now, I don't limit the number of stocks from one sector that goes into the list. The idea is to be a pure momentum list. And if the stocks look really good and they're making new highs, they go in the list regardless of what sector they're in. And then afterwards, I see how it all shakes out. And that way I could see the pies growing and shrinking. And I could also look at that spreadsheet to see where the money is coming or going. Now, this is not quite as impressive as last week. Last week, we had 600% gainers and a bunch of triple digit gainers. This week, not so much. But you do notice that the big winners in most of the big winners in here have been in here the longest. So you want to ride your winners and cut your losses short. When you go in and look at those closed trades, if you have a chance, go back and look at those closed trades. You'll see that a lot of those were just put in not that long ago, okay? And like this BlackBerry here, that was only put on 18th, and that's already hit 100%, so that's a good thing. So there were some recent additions that are doing okay, and that tells me that speculation is still alive and well, but it's getting kind of vicious in the sector rotation, and there's something going on. We need to pay attention to that something. Now, as I've been preaching, I just grabbed this one a few minutes ago. Surprises do tend to happen in the direction of the trend. So this one was just put in on a new high on the 30th. I guess it was on this new high here. It went into the list. It has to be a new closing high, not a new high, a new closing high. Okay. And the formula is pretty simple. I think if you look at the article, there's two articles on Substack. One explains the Langer 100 and one is the actual current report on that list. And that's where I go in and point out the sector rotation and where the action is and so on and so forth. But anyway, surprises do tend to happen in the direction of trend. Now, before we hop into the markets, I did want to take a quick look at these 13 major S&P groups. And at a glance, it's really good to take a look at these every now and then because you could see where the leadership is. And leadership right now is in healthcare and financials. And those aren't really the most exciting areas, obviously, but they're trending. So that's where we might need to focus, or that's where we probably will have to focus our energies. And then the rest of the areas are kind of mediocre at best. And even like the financials, as you'll see in one second, they, like a lot of these new leaders that are emerging or bumping up against their old highs or got past their old highs and came right back in. So that is a bit of a concern. The other thing that's a concern with the overall market is we had this head and shoulders, and now we have another shoulder here. This is becoming a complex, what I call a complex head and shoulders. Now, one of my clients who's been around the markets a heck of a lot longer than me, he was recently talking about diamond patterns. Now, I'm not a big fan of the diamond pattern because I can't wrap my head around it, but I've been looking at a little Schaubacher and some other sources, Edwards and McGee and all, and they make a reference to a complex head and shoulders. And at complex head and shoulders, I can wrap my head around, okay? A market, let's just talk about head and shoulders first. The market rallies up and then goes on to make new highs, okay? So everybody's happy. And then it sells off and people are like, okay, maybe I'm going to get back in. And when it starts to rally, especially if it gets past that prior little peak like this one did, everybody's thinking like, well, I better rush in because I don't want to be late getting into the market. And then when it sells off, it begins to kind of shake them out. But at the least, you can see we've gone sideways in here for 2 months. Okay, so that's a concern in and of itself. Also, pay attention to the Langer light. Notice how nice and green it was back here, okay? We pull back to the moving average, that's okay. But then we tried to rally away from it, came back in. We're trying to rally away from it again. We tried to rally away from it again, came back in, and now we're trying to rally away from it one more time. So we'll have to pay attention to see how this shakes out. Okay, let's take a look at crypto. I really haven't been doing a lot of crypto analysis lately, and I should because, like I say, you must be present to win. But usually when Bitcoin is not doing so hot, the rest of these altcoins is really not much excitement in them, okay? But Bitcoin remains in a downtrend. It did find a little support down here and bounced. But I wouldn't touch this market. Maybe it's trying to bottom out, but I'd leave it alone for now. It would really have to do something impressive to get me interested in it, at least the way it looks for now. So I'd avoid that for now. Ethereum, same sort of action happening there too. It's actually looking a little bit uglier. Shorter term, yeah, it looks like it's trying to put in a bottom, but it's got its work cut out for it. It has tons of overhead supply. Now, if we take a look at the strongest ones, as I've said ad nauseum, sometimes when the market is really doing well, the market being a Bitcoin, that is, you could come in here and buy some of these altcoins as they're making new highs. But I really don't see anything to do here based on the way they're acting. But sometimes if you get them in clear air where there's not a lot of overhead supply, you could just buy them. And then what I do is I flip out half at 20%. Like I had in this particular case here, this was one of them. You see, it was kind of taken off. And I know it's at low levels, but it was taken off, hit that IPT within a couple of days, came back in and stopped out. But right now is really not the time to go after those altcoins. And I do need to keep doing my analysis. All right, let's shift gears and talk about stocks and where we are. All right, S&P 500, not a bad day. Not going to argue with that. And here's the thing, too. When you're not too far away from all-time highs, a big update looks really good and exciting. It looks like it's off to the race. It's going to just blow through those highs. And a big down day is just the opposite. A big down day looks really ugly. So you got to be careful not to get sucked in too much. But the thing to realize, first and foremost, is that we've gone sideways and we're choppy, okay? For 8 weeks. And now that the market hasn't made any progress for 8 weeks, you have a little structure to work with because, hey, you know, where are we now? 75.32. Where were we way back in May? Somewhere around 75.32. So I'm not that excited about the overall market. Yeah, we're in a longer term uptrend. I guess if we took a look at a weekly chart, you could see that we're not too far away from all-time highs. In fact, I'll get it up in the background. We'll pull it up in 1 minute. We'll take a look at the TFM 10% system with the P's. Okay. So I'm going to plot the TFM 10% with zones. And right now, and especially with today's action, we're in the don't worry, be happy zone. So this green zone means that the top would be zero, the bottom will be five. Okay. Zero means you're 0% away. Look over here. Okay. 150. So that means you're 50 weeks, sorry, in 100%. So 100% will be the top of this green zone. And then see, this is 95. So 95% or 5% away will be the top of this light pink zone. And this hot pink zone, you can see, is 90%, okay? Or 10% away. It depends on how you want to look at that. So right now, we're still in the don't worry, be happy zone. I know, ha. So that's always good to get that 30,000 foot view, because when you're looking at it short term, it's chopping around, you're getting chewed up. It doesn't look so good, okay? But bigger picture wise, it's still okay. Anyway, so that's TFM 10%. The sell would be now, see the 50 simple's catching up to price, and that's a 50 week simple moving average. So when the 50 week is below 10%, it has to be 10% or more away and below that 50-week moving average. But now, since the 50 has crossed up through that 10% line or 90% of the close, then that rule doesn't matter, okay? I mean, I guess it still matters because you still do have to be closed. You still have to close below the 50-week moving average, but it doesn't really make a difference because if you close 10% or more, you're automatically below the 50-week. So hopefully that made sense. Like back here, you'd have to close way down here as opposed to just below that 10% line. Anyway, so I just wanted to show you that real quick. That's where we are with the TFM 10% system. Let's hop back to the markets, the stock market, and let's go back to P's. Okay, so decent day again here. Not too far away from all-time highs. NASDAQ Composite. Now, NASDAQ Composite was looking a little uglier yesterday, even though it bounced a little bit because it was below the 50 simple and below some of the bow tie moving averages. Now, today, it looks a lot better, but I wouldn't start kissing each other just yet. And this might be the diamond pattern that Jim was talking about. But again, I could wrap my head around a head and shoulders, which would be... that would be a shoulder, that would be the head, and that would be the shoulder, okay? And then this, I guess, could be another shoulder. So it's a complex head and shoulders. So that's a little sideways or a lot of sideways. But again, a big update when you're not too far away from all-time highs looks pretty good, and a big down day looks pretty ugly. Same thing going on with the Rusty as far as an update or a down day. So yesterday we sold off, and we got below the prior, or we probed the prior breakout levels, okay? And then today, so far, we're bouncing back, and we're just shy of all-time highs. So one big update would certainly fix that. As long as you're making new highs, you don't have to worry. I know. Healthcare has been doing really well, just off all-time highs. Some of these new areas, not as exciting as these older leaders, but as a trend guy, you got to follow along. You have to follow along. Speaking of older leaders, DRAM, today notwithstanding, because we got a little bit of a pop, but that's kind of looking a little toppy. The semiconductors, nice little bounce today, but the beauty of the Landry 100 or running your own momentum list, and I would urge you to do that, is it really gives you a feel for what's going on, and you can see a lot of times where the money is flowing, and sometimes that's masked by the index overall, the sector index. Now, do look at the sector indexes, okay? Indices, but make sure you're also looking under the hood. And as I preach ad nauseum, I'm looking at a couple thousand charts every day to get a feel for what's going on. And right now, I'm seeing this vicious sector rotation, and Landry 100 is also helping me to see that too. But yeah, decent day today. Just yesterday, they were beginning to look a little ugly. The bow ties, we're coming down. Remember, the day the price drops below an exponential moving average, it'll turn down. Greg Morris taught me that. Same thing for the upside. So you can see, like right here, EMA is still headed higher. And then on this day here, what day was that? That was on the 2nd, last Thursday. You close below, and if you squint your eyes, see this moving average? It went down that day, and that went down too. Now, the daily went down. I'm sorry, the simple on the 10-day went down, but that's not always the case because there is a little lag to it, okay? But in this particular case, it went down too. And the reason I used the 10 simple is I just discovered by accident the relation between the 10 simple and the 20 exponential and 30 exponential. I also like, when I'm looking at a market really short term, I also like to look at a simple moving average because it gives me a true representation of price. And when I get to the longer term moving average, say 20 days or above, I like an exponential because it catches up the price faster. Now, you see a lot of simple moving averages on my charts. Longer term, that's because the 50-week moving average is well watched, okay? I'm sorry, the 50-day moving average is well watched, and the 200-day moving average is well watched. In the TFM 10% system, I'm using a simple because I actually wanted that lag kind of built into the system. I didn't want the moving average catch up the price quicker. It's more of a whipsaw filter. It's a longer term system. It's a little bit different kind of thinking. And that's why I'm using a longer term simple moving average. Quantum computing, none of those areas that has lost steam. And based on how it looked yesterday, it looks like we're going to bow tie down fairly soon. See the moving averages turning down, especially the exponential ones. But then you have today's day in there. Okay, I don't know why it's doing that. That's crazy. But with today's day, if you squint your eyes, you see that 30 actually went up just a tiny bit, okay? But this is looking questionable at best, at least for now. Now, a few big updates, of course, would fix that. Semiconductors, again, little bounce today, but still a little sideways as of late. Now, here's one of the bummers out there. So the fence starts rallying, right? It starts looking pretty good. It gets just past its prior peak, and then it comes right back in, okay? The banks did something sort of similar, okay? They just got past its prior peak. They came right back in. Now, big update today, so they're looking a little better once again. 2% for the banks, that's huge. But you can see that a lot of these areas did come back in, and that has them questionable. Remember earlier I talked about financials? Well, financials stopped right at their prior peak before coming in. Yes, shorter term, they look okay. Longer term, they did stall out a little bit at the prior peak. Same thing with major drugs. So you have these new leaders emerging, and except for like biotechnology and health information and healthcare, HMOs, I guess, those areas are doing really well. But a lot of these other areas that have been improving are getting thwarted at their old high. So we're going to have to pay attention to this. And it's looking fairly ugly. Now, as I said earlier, based on yesterday's close, the SpaceX closed at all-time lows. Okay, so this is the fly I talked about. This is the die, obviously. And the best thing in the world could happen, as far as I'm concerned, would be for this thing to chop sideways for a long, 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 long time. Everybody sort of forget about it, okay? Let all that supply work its way through the system. Okay, all the flippers that didn't get out whole, anybody who's an insider that was tied up. Okay, let all the fun and games happen with the indices that are going to put this in the index, right? And then maybe like a bow tie or something that could be the mother of all setups. So that's how I play this. My general rule is never buy an IPO until it trades for at least 5 days, and now you know why. But David went straight up. Yeah, but that was a pretty risky thing to do, to hop in early on that. But notice that it did find its high and implode. So that's a little concerning. So that tells me the bloom is off the rose as far as speculation in general, or that's one sign, I should say. Gold stocks have been in a choppy downtrend. Gold, the commodity, actually a little bit cleaner downtrend, which is unusual because gold and other commodities can be really choppy. Biotechnology so far kind of melting up in here, so that's looking pretty good, as I've been saying ad nauseum. Some of these areas like cybersecurity have rallied out of their pullbacks, but they are stalling a little bit at the prior peaks. So I like to see them bust past those prior peaks and not look back. I think that's pretty much it. I think I mentioned all service stocks. If not, they remain in a downtrend. So far, they're pulling back. So that's looking kind of ugly. Rare earths, just banging out some new lows in here recently. Lithium, I know it's not a rare earth. Somebody's going to call, you know, correct me if I call it that, but it reminds me of a rare earth. It's rare earth adjacent. Bouncing a little bit today, but you can see it's been in a pretty serious slide. So a lot of stuff out there looking ugly. A few areas looking okay. Not enough for me to get excited about at this juncture. Obviously, though, if the indices can have one or two big updates and go on to making new highs, all this can change really quickly. But for now, I think I'd be really, really, really cautious. Okay. Any individual stocks you guys want me to take a look at real quick? I got to figure this out, this new improved software, which got rid of the broadcast, which is stupid. Anyway, okay, going once, going twice. Well, obviously, I want to thank everyone, all you guys and girls, for attending. I appreciate taking time out of your busy schedule and figuring out a way to find the show. Again, you can email me if you can't find the link. I also put it up in Facebook. It doesn't change. So if you're in the Facebook group, the same link will work every day. You should be registered for all shows if you register for one. Anyway, everybody have a great weekend. I'll see most of you guys and girls that are here today in a few minutes in Facebook. Everyone else, have a great weekend. Hope to see you again next week. And everyone, may the trend be with you. Thank you so much. You're welcome.